I want to reiterate that in the concept of Nada v'Neviu and their unfortunate death at the hand of Hashem, we're once again dealing with one of these tremendously difficult concepts in the Torah. It's like trying to really understand the Egel and other things like that. It's like the Mefarshim go to town on it, and at one Rav said, at the end of the day, we're not satisfied, because we feel like, could this have really happened? They were so great. But then we're told that their level of greatness put them at a point, and it says, Hashem will tell you, they were greater in some respects than Aaron and Moshe, and when they're on that level, even for whatever reason, a slight deviation has significant effect. I was once told that the only analogy that might somehow make sense is that, can you imagine the person designing today's most advanced nuclear weapon? And somehow he makes a mistake by a quarter of an inch that will blow the whole thing up on the launch pad. Yeah, with only a quarter of an inch, but look what happens. So that's the only thing that I can think of. We're going to talk about some of the Mefarshim say the issue was. So one of the Mefarshim, Vayikra Rabbah, says they somehow failed to pour water on their hands and feet from the Kiyor before they entered the Mishkan. Some Mefarshim say this is literal, and that's why it's called the strange fire, because it came at a time when there was an inappropriate procedure. And others say this is symbolic of the fact that, notwithstanding their kavanas, they were not sufficiently sanctified, whatever that means, and therefore they were prone to this error. Another Mefarish says, and this is true, they were unmarried. They enjoyed rank, and they had Yichus. Aaron was their father. Moshe Rabbeinu was their uncle. Amram, Yocheved, like they talk about the Yichus. They were the top Bochrim around, so to speak. And not only that, and this Mefarish points out again, it's not just their lineage, it was their hasmada. They were basically unequaled in what they had reached spiritually. They therefore believed that it was only appropriate that they marry the daughters of their older brothers, I guess, or their married brothers, their daughters, because they felt that on the level they were on, they would need spouses who came from the same, let us call, Kodesh lineage. And this was motivated, Chazal tell us, by love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They were always, always concerned, were they doing the proper thing? When they saw the fire come down min ha-shamayim, from the heaven, they had this tremendous, tremendous urge, or I would say religious inspiration, right, to somehow bring a fire of their own, for whatever reason their kavana was. However, this is the slight mistake. The fifth Mephorish says, you don't do that. The full force, it says, of Midos HaDin, the attribute of justice, struck. Immediately, a heavenly fire came out of the Kodshei Kodshim and burnt their souls. The fire entered their nostrils, consumed, it says, only their neshamas, and left their bodies and whatever they were wearing and totally untouched. It's Mephorish points out, none of an Aviyu received the punishment mida keneged mida, measure by measure. They had kindled a fire with Ketores, which was not permitted, and therefore they were burned. So to speak, Hashem said, we will see whose fire prevails. And right here on the spot, the Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim that says, don't think wrongly. We must stop, ponder, and appreciate that Nadav and Avihu's drastic and instant punishment was not a sign of inferiority, but it's only because they were on the highest level of righteousness that this error was so judged. A tzaddik's neshama soul resembles snow and a snow-white garment. Its level of purity makes it vulnerable to the smallest amount of spiritual schmutz. Therefore, an offense which a Kadosh Baruch Hu will tolerate from the average person is a major problem in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a tzaddik. And this is very, very difficult to understand. Tzaddikim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate friends, and they are expected to be 100% free of sin. And we're going to immediately say, okay, if that were the case, why are we told in the Gemara that there were so few people who achieved this lesson? And he quotes that when we look at Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were so close to Hashem, we see a Kadosh Baruch who criticized them for the smallest of failures. When, for example, when Esav's army came towards Yaakov, as he was coming back to his parents, Yaakov trembled. He was aware that his level of Kedusha in his Machne camp, he would put him susceptible that if a small avera occurred, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not save him from Esav. None of an Avihu received the full severity of Midas HaDin, justice, the attribute of justice. Hashem did not delay punishment or overlook their error because of their tzidkis and because of how close they were to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal point out, normally someone who was chayiv misa bidei shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a judgment that he would have to take their lives, they would have normally a longer lifespan, up to 60 possibly. Right? And they did not. And we get some other interpretations that the heavenly court, and I don't know what a heavenly court is. In other words, how does the Kaddish Baruch Hu make a determination? But it says, took into consideration that they were already chayiv misa. What? They were already condemned to die at Matan Torah. And we got to go back to what happened at Matan Torah. At the time the Torah was given, Nadav Avihu, together with the Zakenim, the elders, went up on Har Sinai to get a better appreciation, a better, I would say, experience of Shekhinah. And they experienced this level, elevated level. And this was a level Hashem had not asked them, and probably had precluded them from going to. And it says, somehow, rather than being the effect of it being totally spiritual, they actually had a manifestation of personal satisfaction. Hashem judged the elders and Nadav and Avihu as guilty. But he didn't do anything then for two reasons. It says that prophecy, and every yid receives some form of nevuah, can only occur when the recipient is in a happy and tranquil mood. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated them the way they should have been treated at Matan Torah, this would have been a tremendous tragedy, and the Yidden would never have been totally, or all of them, able to receive the Nevuah from Hashem. So Hashem delayed the death of the elders and not even a view to another day. Also, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken out, had he killed the Zakenim and Nadav and Avihu at the time of Matan Torah, the people would have looked in a sense of shock. They would say, hold on, we see no guilt. We cannot conceive of any error these people made. And what would have happened? Would they have willingly accepted the Torah? Would Matan Torah have been what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? In other words, and it's interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as human beings, they will have this reaction. They're going to get Nevuah, which is overhuman, extra human. But I am afraid of their natural reaction. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to override the natural, all of the natural inclinations, or maybe none of the natural inclinations of Bnei Yisroel at Sinai. They could move up spiritually, but they would still sense physically that which they could have before Matan Torah. It's a tremendous concept. And Hashem waited for this, to take what he felt was appropriate action. But we're told in this looks like Bamidbar Rabba, one of the Midrashim. But even all of what had happened and all of this history would not have caused an immediate death of Nadav of Avihu, but one other thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't understand this, and if you do, please tell me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe that at the time of the Mishkan, Bikroivai Ekadesh, I am going to become sanctified through the taking of the holiest of souls. This was some sort of special inauguration of the Mishkan. And I'm reading the Medrash says, which quotes all these things, and it says, we're going to spend time explaining this because this is clearly not easy. But he starts with the reaction of Aaron to the loss of his two sons. Aaron's reaction was, oh my, I realize that both I and my sons must have sinned. And Moshe stops him right on the spot. No. Hashem told me this, Bikroivei Akadesh, that for some reason there was going to be the passing of the holiest at the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this message on Har Sinai. And I assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take my life and yours when the Mishkan was put in place. Now, I finally understand that Nadav and Avihu surpassed us spiritually. They were the most Kaddish in the people. And that's why they were the victims. And the question is, how
was probably making Aaron feel better by saying that?
Don't know. The question is, what is this Kiddush Hashem with the death of the greatest tzaddikim at the time of the inauguration? And he says, he brings an example. A new emperor was going to be coronated. Everybody was there. One of the noblemen, a public figure, very important in the kingdom, went to the throne of the emperor and sat down there and put the crown on his head. All of a sudden, the about to be inaugurated emperor said, this is the greatest derogation, right, of what could called for, and we know the Constitution says there's immediate capital punishment. I cannot be lenient, because if I'm lenient here, others will follow. The population watched in awed silence as he was decapitated. And this would forever remain in their minds, that look how important the honor of the emperor is. Look how important the respect for his authority and might is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I allow Nadav and Avihu's mistake to go unpunished, it is going to lead in some way to others taking untoward action as well. And Hashem decided that I have to take them and hundreds more who will act like them at their level, rather than allow any degradation to kavod malchus shamayim, the honor of the Rabbeinu shel Olam. Nadav and Avihu made a mistake. They tampered with the law of the Mikdash. And the people realized or learned that that was what happened, that it wasn't that they did something appropriate. They learned that this was something inappropriate. And they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu act on the spot. This was the Kiddush Hashem. That the halachos of Torah are eternal and cannot be shaken or moved. They're not subject to any manipulation by even the greatest of the great. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegates, designates, and details what to do, there's no opening. There's no tolerance of a change. There are certain things in existence that have to be 100%. I would say maybe 1,000%, complied with. And this was definitely not something that Hashem had told Moshe or Aaron, and that they had learned in the 7 days of inauguration as what was to happen. They were told in advance that Hashem's Kedusha would be manifest in the fire coming down from Shemayim, and that this fire from Shemayim, that was going to be the fire to be used for the first Ketores offering in the Mishkan, the first Ketores offering in Hashem's home, to take an action which supersedes. In other words, before you're going to let Hashem's plan play out, you're going to add another level, while probably the motivation was the greatest of all, was still a serious mistake. And Hashem said to Moshe, I want you to tell Aaron, Nadav and Avihu are with me now in the highest level of Gan Eden. I am telling you now that they were the greatest people alive when they were there. When Aaron realized that his sons were gone because of this, and he realized what tzaddikim they truly were, he stopped his grief. And it says, Vayidoim Aaron. Aaron became silent. It says, Chazal tell us, this was not an external demonstration that the people should see that Aaron is not totally engrieved and can't go on with the service. But it says, Aaron understood in his heart, doesn't say his mind, in his mind too, but in his heart, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes and din is appropriate. Rav Shamshin Raphael Hirsch, they quote, says, in our times we are faced with the problem how to respond to the golden age of wisdom. We have the reform, the conservative, the new builders, the reconstructionists. And this author adds, even the open Orthodox today. And they have sacrificed the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, Judaism. They practice a pseudo-Judaism, devoid of true content. And the problem is as burning as ever. How do we educate and ourselves and our children and grandchildren that the high levels of Torah standards cannot be compromised? Our success as Torah Jews to continue require the 100% sincere adherence to the time-tested Torah principles HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us on Sinai and as they were passed down in the Mesorah. And even if the entire world says you're nuts and you're crazy, it makes no difference. Okay. We're going to stop here for today. Thank you for listening.